Well, sometimes you have to scratch your head at the timing of events, but actually the elder update was scheduled for a little bit earlier in February, so you're going to think that maybe I coincided this with their update, but it's not true at all because we're going back to the book of Proverbs as we're working through some of our topical looks into the book of Proverbs, and today we are going to deal with the area of finances. And the reason that we're going to do that is because it's such a huge topic in the book of Proverbs, and I'd had it planned out many weeks in advance that it was going to be today, and then we moved the elder update, so they really are not coinciding at all, although, you know, it works well together. But I want to start with a question. How many of you in here have had, in your time growing up, somebody in your family who, whether you appreciated it or not, was very intent on telling you something about the birds and the bees? How many of you have had somebody like that? Yeah, my grandpa lived right next door to me, and for some reason, he was intent that he was going to talk to me at some point. And I'd see him coming and I would run as fast as I could. I don't think we ever had that conversation. Thank you, Jesus. There is answered prayer, okay? But how many here can think, now again, whether purposeful or not, about a time when somebody in your life conveyed truth to you about finances and about money? Now again, it might not be where they sat down and talked with you, but they would always have a phrase they would use, or they'd always have some kind of insight about finances or about money. How many can remember something like that? Okay? Yeah, I can as well. Again, whether intentional or unintentional. Well, I want to read you a quote from Alan Emery. He served for more than a decade as the COO of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Society, and he was talking about when he was growing up, and listen to what he remembered. My parents consistently taught us that all we had must be held with an open hand, that when we closed our fingers tightly over anything we placed our trust, we lost the joy and the blessing. Things acquired as an end in themselves become idols and possessed us. Now that's pretty good wisdom, isn't it? I hope I've passed some good ideas like that along onto our children. But really, when you think about wisdom, when you think about finances, Proverbs is just packed full of this kind of information. And so we actually have quite an aggressive agenda for the next 25 minutes or so. We're going to try to walk through the major ideas in the book of Proverbs. We're going to start with Proverbs chapter 8, and then we're going to jump ahead to Matthew chapter 6 and listen to Jesus' teaching as well. If you're able, let's stand together as we read this opening portion of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning with verse 32. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. Jump ahead to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves can break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can go ahead and have a seat. Now, I really even barely need to say this, but obviously money and finances, those are some pretty controversial things, especially within the church and in our culture today. And if you've been coming to our church very long at all, you know, we don't talk a lot about it. We don't take offerings in the service. We don't focus on that a whole lot. But we're in a series looking at the book of Proverbs, and you know there are over 50 references in the book of Proverbs concerning our finances or concerning money and how we use them in our life. So you also just can't skip over Scripture, can you? And there are some amazing truths we're going to look at today anyway. And for most of us, these are going to be reminders. But you know, sometimes when you study Scripture and it's a reminder, it's an encouragement, that's just as good as finding some new insight you've never had, right? That's a lot of what church is all about, is to encourage us to stay the path and to understand what's going on. Now, it's not just Proverbs. The New Testament also addresses money and finances regularly. I mean, isn't it in the New Testament where we read that money is the root of all kinds of evil? I didn't quote that quite right, did I? No, I was just seeing. I was close, but it was not spot on. Can somebody tell me where I was wrong? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. It's the love of money. Let me read you one commentator's view. Money in itself is not evil. It's the love of money. Money is like a brick. You can use it to build a cathedral or to crush someone's skull. Money is neither good nor evil in itself. It is greed that is the root of all evil. So it's true, and Scripture's clear throughout, that it is the love of money that can be so very dangerous. When money's used the way God has designed it, it can be used for amazing good, can't it? We've seen that. We've experienced that. But in and of itself, it's not a solution to anything. Now, somebody recently had these kinds of thoughts, and I actually had somebody send this to me, but it's just entitled, What Money Can and Cannot Do. I think some of you may have seen this. Money, it can buy a house, but not a home. That's true, isn't it? It can buy a bed, but not sleep. Oof. It can buy a clock, but not time. Money can buy you a book, but not knowledge. It can buy you a position, but not respect. It can buy you medicine, but not health. It can buy you blood, but not life. So you see, money isn't everything. The best things in life can't be bought, and we often destroy ourselves trying. I tell you all this because I am your friend, and as your friend, I want to take away your pain and suffering. So send me all your money, and I will suffer for you. Cash only, please. It really was right on there. Is that ridiculous? Because I'm sitting there going, boy, that's all true, that's all true. So send me all your money. Okay, all right, well. We have a lot of information. I'm going to try to cover it pretty quickly. But I've basically broke down the idea of finances and Proverbs into three areas. Okay, so here's the first area. Very clear in Proverbs, planning is essential. All right, when you start talking about money and finances, planning is essential. Let's just jump right into it. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Okay, the Bible gives us a lot of admonitions. You know what? Today is very important, but you also need to be looking down the road. You need to be thinking. Be thinking about your future. Be prepared. I think of Jesus' teaching on the 10 virgins. Remember? What was the theme of that? Be ready for the bridegroom to come. And Jesus taught us to build our house on solid ground. Why? Because the wind and the rain will come. We realize that, right? It's a beautiful day out today, isn't it? I love it. But the rain will come. We could still, I shouldn't say it out loud, should I? We could still have something else that comes with winter occasionally. You say it out loud, it's done, right? But the reality is if we're not built on the rock, then all of these things are going to wash it away. Now, we're going to listed a few areas underneath this topic, okay? It's the topic of planning, but here are a few areas. Budgeting. Okay, budgeting is one area. Again, jump right into it. Proverbs 22, verses 2 and 3. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Here's one truth about finances, okay? No matter where you are in life, financially speaking, God knows it, doesn't he? And he understands it, and he's ready to help us. He stands there ready to do that. Our responsibility is this. We must be prudent. Okay, that's the key of what this verse is talking about. Now, what does prudent mean? Well, it means the exact opposite. Sometimes I need the opposite. It means the opposite of naive or simple. Okay, so in other words, a prudent person is one who realizes, you know what? Life has a lot of ups and downs. There are going to be a lot of things that come my way, and I need to be ready to handle anything that happens. I need to be busy getting ready for that. Now, that's all I mean by budgeting, okay? Understanding the way that life can be and preparing for it. That's what we're talking about. So, yes, this may indeed be some type of written plan into how to handle your finances, okay, so that we can be prepared. Tuesday Night Connection, there's another financial class coming up. If you've taken the others, this would be a great one for you to take. But the emphasis is on being prudent, being prepared. Okay, Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Now again, knowledge is often used with this word prudent in Scripture. They're used right together many times. It means to have insight. It means to understand how the world works. That's a tough lesson sometimes, isn't it? Especially as you grow and as you mature. But what are the results if you're prudent and if you're wise and if you have understanding? What are the results? Did you see verse 4? Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. See, it's understanding where God is taking us and following His plan. When Emily and I lived in North Carolina, they were kind of going through a building boom at the time. And a lot of beautiful houses were going up. And, you know, we were still early on in our marriage and we couldn't understand, you know, how these people had all, because these were gorgeous, all brick homes and two-story. And, you know, the South is still fairly traditional and just beautiful. So we were looking for our little house, you know, right before Adam was born, and we asked our real estate agent, how are there this many people? And our real estate agent looked back at us and said, you'd be really surprised that she said this, I don't know if it was a fact or not, but she said the majority of these houses have no furniture in them. Maybe a bedroom suite, maybe the kitchen, but people are spending, they're going as far as they can to build the house that looks good, but there's nothing inside of it. I thought that was so sad. So I asked them to give me one, like the letter that they sent, you know. Proverbs 27:23. Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. I throw this in here because, again, in the day of Proverbs, you didn't really have financial budgets. That's just not, there wasn't enough money to even be concerned about that, and that wasn't how it worked. So budgeting was crucial to even know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. Those are the things that would determine whether your family would succeed or fail when those tough times came. So that was budgeting as well. But what are we learning? Be prepared. Be prepared. Budget for the future. Now here's another area, okay, used with preparedness. Borrowing and debt. Borrowing and debt. Lots to say in the book of Proverbs in this area. Proverbs 21, verse 7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. This is one of the key verses in the book of Proverbs. If you've had, what's the name of the financial class? Financial Peace, right? If you've had that, one of the key verses that they focus on all the time. It's not a long verse, right? But it packs a powerful punch. And here's why. As believers, who are we to serve? Right? My Bible tells me that there's only one that I should ever serve. That's who I'm called to serve. It's God. But here we're told that if we are indebted to someone else, we literally become their servant. That's literally where we find ourselves. Now, what did Jesus teach us? Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. All right, there's so many examples of this in life. And I want to say, too, that as we talk through these issues of finances, we have people in this room that are all over the board in every one of these areas. Okay? What I'm trying to help us do is to go back to Proverbs and say, how can we all be wise with where we are right now? God knows where we are. How can He take us to where we need to be? But this idea of indebtedness, listen to this story I came across. British writer and politician Joseph Addison once loaned some money to a friend with whom he was accustomed to having long discussions on topics of mutual interest. Soon afterward, Addison noticed a change in his friend's behavior. Before the loan, the two of them had disagreed on a number of subjects. But afterwards, the borrower fell in with every line that Addison adopted. One day they were talking on a subject about which Addison knew his friend had previously held an opposite view. Frustrated by the other man's compliance, Addison exclaimed, "Either contradict me, sir, or pay me my money." It's pretty good, isn't it? Because that's exactly what it's talking about. Debt really is a serious issue, and I don't think that a lot of believers look at it carefully enough. It's one of the reasons why I love things like financial peace and looking through Proverbs and stuff like that. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Okay, so I know this is a tough topic. It's hard to look at these issues. Again, understanding how many different backgrounds there are here. But the truth is that most of the time we find ourselves indebted to another, it is because of a lack of wisdom. Most of the time, it is because we're lacking in discipline. So I want to ask you a question. If God doesn't want us to serve anyone but Him, all right, do you think if we ask Him that He would help us get out of debt? You think He would help us to set new patterns in our lives and new pathways for us where our feet are on the right path, the straight path? Proverbs 22, verses 26 and 27. Do not be a man who strikes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. There goes the sleep part again. Now you don't even have your bed. I thought this was a good quote. Think about this. Credit is what keeps you from knowing how far past broke you are. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Okay, so planning is essential in budgeting, in the area of debt and borrowing. And then third, here's another area, investments. Okay, investments. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Now, I want to say something this morning. I think sometimes we fall into the trap, especially in the church, of thinking that material things in and of themselves are evil. And that simply is not biblical. That's not the case at all. God often entrusts us with these financial capabilities so that we can indeed further His cause throughout the world. But we have to be wise investors of what He gives us. We have to follow through with what He has called us to do. Look at Proverbs 30. Verse 24, four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. And then it goes on and explains all the others. But do you hear the act of preparing through investing? I grew up hearing people talk about, my great-grandmother still worked her own garden until she was 92 years old. And she used to talk about putting up the beans. She's going to put up the beans. Anybody ever put up the beans? Okay. Kind of an older phrase. We don't talk about it as much anymore, but she was canning for the winter. And I know we don't do that as much today. Some still do. But the question is, how are you preparing for your future? Hopefully it's going to come, right? And there are going to be challenges. There are going to be all kinds of things. How are you investing? Proverbs 13, verse 11. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Now, do you hear anything negative in there about that? There's nothing negative. In fact, it's basically saying you're smart to be doing this. This is what you ought to be doing. Didn't Jesus tell the story of the nobleman who gave his servants some funds and told them to do what? Invest them. Use them. And then in Luke 19, when the man returned, he praised the one who had invested wisely. Jesus applauded him. So the book of Proverbs clearly teaches us planning is essential. Okay, here's a second reality in Proverbs, though, and you have to understand the full picture. Righteousness exceeds riches. Very clear throughout the book. Again, jump right in. Proverbs 10, verse 3. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but He thwarts the craving of the wicked. Now, it is true in our culture, we are so materially oriented. We have to acknowledge that, okay? It's hard to get past that. But to God, and we know this, the condition of our soul is so much more important than any financial gain we could ever acquire. I mean, that's always in the forefront of His thinking, even as you study His Word. And here we learn that if we focus on righteousness, if we focus on doing it God's way, He's going to take care of our needs. He's watching over us. Proverbs 15, verse 6. The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings them trouble. Okay, now think about it. This verse doesn't mean that if you love God, you'll be rich. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that if you're righteous, anything you have in your possession, guess what? It's going to be a great treasure. Whatever it is. How little or how much, it's going to be a great treasure. But if you're wicked, in other words, if you're living your life apart from God, everything you have becomes a curse. Now, I know you've seen people in your life where this is absolutely true, where this very principle has lived itself out. Now, here are a few ways we're called to be righteous in the area of our finances, okay? Underneath that subpoint, a few ways we're called to be righteous. First one is this, trust in God. That's righteousness, is trusting in God. Proverbs 22, verse 4. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Now, it's very clear in Scripture, but I'm going to say it out loud anyway. We don't fear the Lord simply to gain material wealth. That's not the point of it at all. We fear the Lord because it's right and because it's what He calls us to do. But when we do trust God, He promises to take care of us. I can't find any other kind of indication in Scripture. Okay, so that's where we begin. We must trust God. Proverbs 28, verse 25. A greedy man stirs up dissension, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. This is a serious question this morning. I want you to stop a minute and just think about it. I know I'm throwing a lot at you all at once about finances. But ask yourself this question. In what am I trusting for my future? Think about that. The future's coming. We know there are going to be challenges. The rain and the wind and the white stuff can come. But what am I trusting in? Now read that again. A greedy man stirs up dissension, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. Here's another area. Okay, another area of righteousness. Honesty in financial matters. Now again, probably nothing new, but let's look at what Proverbs says. Proverbs 15, verse 27. A greedy man brings trouble to his family, but he who hates bribes will live. Now here's the point. It is so easy to try and cut corners, isn't it? Now don't sit there and try to look all innocent and everything. We all have areas where this can become a temptation, but God calls us to deal honestly with others. It must be honesty. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. All right, let's just admit something this morning, okay? Very few people enjoy being poor. Isn't that true? I mean, as much as they can understand it, very few people enjoy being poor. But do you realize there are many things worse than being poor? Now seriously, in our culture, in our materialistic culture today, you need to hear that. We all need to hear this. There are many things worse than being poor. It's better to be poor, the Bible says, than to be a rich fool. See, don't ever stoop to the devil's level just to make a profit. It doesn't work. It's not worth it. Proverbs 28, verse 16. A tyrannical ruler lacks judgment, but he who hates ill-gotten gain will enjoy a long life. I got to keep going. Here's the third area of righteousness, contentment. Wow, we could do a whole series just on this, couldn't we? Contentment, Proverbs 30, verse 8. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. It's contentment. Thank you, God, for what I have. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. That's my life verse right there. There it went. I kind of saw it, but it just flew away. What did the Apostle Paul say? I have learned to be content in every circumstance. Contentment. All right, here's the fourth area. God loves givers. Okay, this is the area of righteousness. God loves givers. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Okay, this is the whole idea of giving. And I read an article again recently that said 3% of our population now gives 10% to their church, to their local congregation. 3% now tithe. And so the article started, it was kind of a cute title for the article. It was called The Sermon on the Amount. I know, I thought, you know me. So I'm like, oh, that got my attention. But the IndieChannel.com recently cited this survey by the Barna Group that said that only 3% of American households tithe to their church. And the thing that surprised me was that was a sharp contrast from just 2001. So it's not even that old. But the article reports that in spite of these biblical passages that, you know, that say that God will bless those who bless him and all that, that these statistics continue. Now again, we don't talk much about giving around here, but the truth is this. If you call this your church home, that's what the Bible calls us to do, to give. Now, that's not me talking. It's just biblical truth. Now understand, it's not just about the church either. Okay? God loves givers. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Look at this. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So again, a really good question. It's a good challenge for every single one of us is to ask ourselves, am I a giving person? Would somebody label me as a giving person? I got to tell you real quick, a man called our church the other day and said, can I please speak to the head hog at the trough, is what was reported to me. Yeah. And Anna answered the phone and she was offended. And she said, now if you mean our pastor, then you can refer to him as pastor or brother, but you may certainly not refer to him as the head hog at the trough. And evidently the man said back to her, well, I was planning on giving $10,000 to your church's building fund, but... And Anna said, hold on, Porky just walked in. Is Anna back there this morning? You're going to be in a lot of trouble for that one. Listen, the message of Proverbs and finances is not complicated. It's not complicated, but it's very difficult to live out, isn't it? Planning is essential, righteousness exceeds riches, and God loves givers. Here's really the bottom line, and I mean it for all of us as we understand Scripture. We need to trust God with our finances. We need to seek wisdom and how to know to handle this material world. I need wisdom, do you? I mean, it's a fine line, it's a good balance, and yet God says, in fact, we're going to read it. Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. So what am I after? I want to be faithful. I want to follow God. Look at Proverbs 21, verses 21 and 22, or 2, Proverbs 2, 21 and 22. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. I want to be upright. I want to be faithful. Proverbs 8, 32 to 35. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. I want to find life. Anybody else want to find life? I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to go back. We're going to pray. I want to go back to Proverbs 3, some of our hallmark verses for this series. Let me read it, and then I'm going to change it a little bit just as we did last week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Now let's back it up. And where it says in all your ways, today we're just going to, for thought process, we're going to replace it with your finances. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. With your finances, acknowledge Him, and He's going to make our paths one thing. What's it going to be? It's going to be straight. Let's pray together. Father, you know that as I was outlining this series and thinking through every one of these messages, this was really the least favorite of the ones that I saw. And yet there are so many verses, you really cannot avoid the topic. So I pray now that your Holy Spirit would take these words that we've heard, that we would understand Scripture that you have given us, and may you apply it to every one of our circumstances. Father, that's how we can be faithful, is if we listen to that still small voice moving in our lives right now and explaining to us maybe changes that need to be made, or maybe those areas where we are being faithful and you're just encouraging us to continue down that path. But Father, your Holy Spirit has to apply this now to each one of us. And on my part, and I pray that on many, many hearts in here this morning, we're open. Please come and show us. We want to be wise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.